Hello, this is Florian speaking.
Yeah, ich mache mein Herz hier. Hi, everyone.
Hello, good to hear you. Welcome. I guess it's for the moment just the two of us. Hello, Florian speaking. Who joined? Well, let's wait a few more minutes until people showed up. Hello, who do we have? Hello, Michael. Sorry, I'm speaking.
Hello, Italo.
Good to hear you.
Hi.
And say sorry about all of your.
Hi, Maria speaking.
Thank you. Hello. Yeah, such is life. We can just make the best out of it and hope all will get better soon. But I really appreciate the
Yeah.
support. That's really, really helpful and really kind.
Cool. So Marino Italo, we got Florian. Yiji, awesome. On Google Plus, we have Torsten and Marina and myself. Results, you'd expect to have more people.
Right. Hi there.
Hello.
I'm Björn on the phone.
Hey,
Hey,
good to hear
Björn.
you, Björn.
Hi, Björn.
So Kenny was just in a call with me earlier, so I shall harass him and send him a link or something.
Haha. I think neither Norbert nor Simon can join. That's at least what I heard.
Yeah, Simon's supposed to be flying, I think. Yeah.
Ah. Okay.
I'll invite him anyway. Why not? And Osvaldo, I sent an invite to, but isn't showing.
At least we have a quorum. If Björn represents someone, then we do have a quorum, which is good.
Björn can represent the voice of sanity. What do you think, Björn?
For
a change.
Oh no, for a change. You've muted Beyond, I think, so we can't hear you at all. But there you are. You can represent the muted Blake.
Okay.
Osvaldo, excellent. Here we are.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, we have a Candy as well. We are
Hello.
privileged with quorateness coming out of our ears. Gratitude. Great. What's on the agenda? Is anything on the agenda?
Oh, qu quite a lot, actually.
Oh, well.
Björn, you represent Simon then? Wonderful.
Do you have any news about Eike? I don't know if he's in the call.
Invite him. Let me pick him on RC. That might be a more effective strategy.
Eike claims he's waiting in the public room, or maybe it's the wrong public room.
Yeah,
We are in the public room.
I use the 9-4 and the that one.
copy it on IRC to him. Just a second.
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent.
And with Ike, we would be 7 people, and we are indeed quarred. Let's wait for Ike. Okay. So while we're waiting for Ike, maybe quickly going to the agenda. So what we have, the first item is new packaging formats that was added by Ike. Then we have a second item by Torsten, changes for the TDF members list. Third one is one that I have added, upcoming membership committee elections and size of DMC, where we should at least quickly discuss how to proceed. And then two items by Marina, follow-up vote on software heritage project and certification program status and future. So much for the public call. There's a couple of more for the private one.
I don't know if okay, if missing, we can jump to the item number 2 and waiting for him.
Yeah, he claims he even dialed the right number, which is interesting. Technology. Yeah. Ah.
Okay.
Okay, hello, who joined? Hello, okay. Hi. Welcome. Okay. Then I guess we can start, Marina.
Okay, we can start. The first item is from Ike. It's a discussion about the new packaging format. So, Ike, if you want to explain your idea.
Yeah, basically it's about the new Flatpak format where applications can provide new package formats that can be installed on probably most Linux distributions. And Stefan, did you join? And Jiri?
Yes, I did.
I'm here.
Okay. So maybe Jiri just wants to say something about that, and Stefan is here to maybe clarify technical details if there are any questions. So my not proposal, but just my take on that is that we would like to see the Flatpak format as kind of one of the official distribution formats that will be provided by TDF, so that we can use the infrastructure and maybe cloth dust the bills.
Yeah, okay, so should I say something a bit more about it? So you might have heard of XDG app, which was the name for the development version of this, but yeah, we changed the name recently, you know, to have a nicer name for that. On the other hand, the technology has been around for like last year and a half or 2 years, and there have been a couple of upstream projects already experimenting with that, like namely GNOME, KDE, but also other upstream projects. And basically, what are the advantages over like traditional packaging systems? So it's a bundling and sandboxing technology. So it means that, yes, as Ike already said, you can have only one installation file for multiple distributions and regardless their versions. So it's pretty much more independent on the underlying system that like traditional Linux packages or traditionally packaged applications for Linux. And it's also sandbox, so it should be more secure. Although this is also something that's still yet to be finished, because, you know, to have like a completely closed sandbox, we need a bit more pieces in place. Like, for example, using X server is a big hole in the sandbox. So until we switch on Wayland, or until the distribution switches to Wayland, it's not really a completely closed sandbox. The advantage for LibreOffice will also be that pretty much the middlemen, which are the distribution packagers, can be removed, because the techno or the format is designed the way that the user can download LibreOffice, install it. There is already like a repository that is going to that is added. So through the repository, the user can get future updates of that. So, and those updates can come directly from TDF. So that's, yeah, another thing. And I don't know what else I should emphasize. Do you have any questions about, like, more generally about the format?
Sure, sure. So one question I have, which is...
Yeah.
Actually, I don't care about at all. But when I worked for SUSE, I probably would have cared about, which is, you know, usually inside your container, you need some kind of Linux inside it. And everybody, you know, runs around and pretends it's not there or whatever. But the question is, what is the base of the container? Is it Red Hat, RHEL, a CentOS, a SUSE, Debian, a...
Flatpak uses runtimes, so unlike other bundling solutions, you don't have to bundle everything yourself, but you can base that or run that application on some existing runtime. Right now, like Stefan has been playing with the Flatpak format for some time, and the LibreOffice builds are currently built on official GTK runtimes, and the GTK runtime is currently based on Yocto project.
Oh, cool. Okay, so it is actually genuinely relatively independent of any vendor, and Yocto is used to build flat distribution neutral. Oh, cool. Awesome. So I don't even need
to. That was the idea to have.
Good work.
Yes,
I love it. Sounds cool.
Okay, so. So what's actually the ask to the board here?
Yeah, we want to ask if the format can be officially if it could be the official installation format for LibreOffice 5.2, like the upcoming release, which will require like a build machine and also then hosting of the repository on mirrors. And that also, I already spoke with Italo about that, if we can get some kind of like endorsement from TDF that, yeah, this is the format we'd like to support in the future as an official installation format for Linux. We don't ask for like exclusivity. If TDF decides to support like any other format, yeah, that's completely fine with us.
That's a good comment that would have been the next question, because TDF really doesn't like to pick winners.
Oh, I don't know. I like this winner. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Stefan's done all the work. It's gone in. It's a community thing. We're excited about it. I'm excited about it. It's particularly exciting because our current baselines are so old. Like, so, you know, if you want any kind of integration, it's just terrible. So I love
exactly.
It. I don't know. Why don't we rave about it?
There would be one concern, which is the old GTK versus Qt KDE question. I haven't looked into any details there, but anything that might suggest that TDF would kind of prefer GNOME GTK over KDE, that should at least be avoided publicly. That would be my concern. And
What we can do, currently, there are two officially provided runtimes, and one is free desktop runtime, which only has really the basics, and then there is the GTK one. And I know that the people around Qt are also working, or people around KD are also working on the Qt runtime. So there is, if TDFLA wants to be like independent, then there also could be the free desktop runtime picked. But yeah, then you would have to bundle whatever framework you want to use for the build yourself.
Okay. So, the second concern that I would have is that so how much work actually does that entail? I mean, is it just pressing a button and having a build machine that's able to crank out a build, or how ready made will that be?
That's another question for Stefan. Yeah.
What I have at the moment is a kind of shell script that does a complete build and packaging of that Flatpak file. So what we technically need is some TDF machine that is new enough to support Flatpak. So for building, you already need that Flatpak software that you also need as a user at runtime. And there are builds of the latest Flatpak 0.6 for various distros now, so I'm already in contact with Christian to find some suitable machine of ours where we can run that, be that some Magaya or a Debian or what we have there.
But it could be a virtual machine, Stefan, presumably. You can make a VM.
Of course, it could also be just another virtual machine, but when I pinged Cloth first time, it sounded more like he would be more happy to put that on some existing one, which I can understand as well. So I guess we'll find some virtualized hardware that fits that. And then it's not different from doing any of the other builds. I mean, it's kind of a bit different, the exact commands that you need to execute, but I put that shell script already on our TDF infra repo, so it's there and modifiable and
so before we get too deep into the technical details, let's take, I think we're jumping the gun a bit here, because these are actually two issues. And the first issue is doing this or supporting this in general, which is great, building this. The other thing is putting TDF resources on that and building it from TDF side, which is a different story. And so for the first one, I think we haven't even seen one real Flatpak release at all that is like updated and maintained. So we are not really, we haven't seen this yet in production used and seen how much work it is. But for this question with doing this upstream, the question is, of course, if TDF does this on TDF infra and does provide infrastructure for it, do we do that, for example, for other new package formats like Snap2? Because if we do it for Snap Flatpak, why don't we do it for Snap? That would be one question. So those are the questions with regard to TDF doing the actual work. Of course, if the Snap packs are not created for now or for the beginning from TDF directly, that's a different thing, and everyone that's great. Beyond that, I see the current thing actually does does disable Java, so we probably need some communication around this, that the Flatpak isn't really an drop-in replacement for the RPMs and depths that we currently have. Otherwise, we would get lots of bogus bug reports about that, and some other stuff like a script that just plainly downloads over HTTP an unsigned binary from or unsigned code from Perl might need some extra work from the before production release too.
So what is the script that does the, is that the build script, the Octave script, or is it the distribution or deployment stuff?
The build script.
Well, the idea is that that gets signed, of course, with some TDF signing key. So the infrastructure is there to have Flatpak signed. I don't have a key, so my kind of demo script, of course, doesn't do any signing, but the intent is to.
Okay. How about the build script? Potentially could be downloading and sort of things. But I mean, our current build script also has this.
let's maybe. I mean, the technical questions are another thing. But the thing for the TDF org essentially is: do we wanna do this as an official TDF release? And with this not being
my take,
not even including Java and stuff, and and being an additional package format, I'm fine with the rest, but that's the question for the board.
My take would be that it's a lot easier, Yuji, if Stefan or someone actually does the release, you know, at least for the first few things. Why can't we look at it through the release timeline and just push this to the ESC? Does the board need to decide this?
Yeah, I would be fine, for example.
Given the constraints.
I would be fine, for example, with Stefan or whoever doing the first build and TDF being happy about them existing. And but I don't see us right in resourcing this ourselves from the start, to be honest.
So, but I think if Stefan did that and took it up to the point that we released, then it seems to me that we could take it over, like assuming it works and people are happy with it. And
at some point,
we need to.
So I think from my perspective, I mean, given that Red Hat is sponsoring the project heavily, so in the advisory board, I think giving them some preferential treatment there, I wouldn't object to that. What kind of worries me is that it's a bit unclear, so we're pretty far down the road for the 5.2, and whether we should be, I mean, maybe indeed it's not the time to decide how prominent we will be marketing that, which I think was one of the asks to get some marketing from TDF side. But the things with like Java, and it's kind of leading edge technology, so perhaps something more low key for the 5.2 time frame, and then when it's somehow in a steady state and then people are actually using that. So could be even something for a 6.0.
Can we not present it alongside the RPM and dev builds on the download page as an also, here's something cool you could try? I mean, the marketing people will go wild about anything new you give them anyway, so I don't think we even need to decide that. That's their domain, and they'll go crazy for it, no doubt. So what do we really need to decide? I would be perfectly happy with providing a community-contributed build of this on the download page next to everything else. Like,
right.
How do you not do that?
I mean, it's the same with portable. That's the same story there.
Yeah.
I mean, at some stage, if we have 20 different flavors, we might run into trouble with our mirror operators. But unless that happens, no fundamental concerns, at least.
Yeah, same here.
Stefan and Yuji, does that give an answer to you? As in, we would love you to help produce the builds through the release, you know, through the 5.2 cycle, and then we're very happy to put it on the, you know, on a par with the portable and the RPM downloads on the page, and marketing will go wild anyway because that's their job, and life will be good. How about that?
I would be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll see with together with Cloth, I guess, to get these. Like this signing thing set up and stuff like that.
Cool.
Yeah, but I suppose, but finding that, I don't think we will block on that, Stefan. I know you personally.
Yes. I insist that you print the key out on, and paste it to dozens of people first in plain text there. So that's the, anyway, what can we do? Cool. Anything else on that topic? Yuji, are you happy? Is that what you want?
Yeah, I just, on IRC channel, I just checked that we also have a nice website about the format. So if you want to learn more about it, you can explore it. Also, I wanted to ask if we can, for example, if I work together with Italo, we can get some marketing news from this. Like, it doesn't have to be any commitment. Like, we want to support it officially by 5 or 2, but something like TDF is like interested in this format, and we'd like to support it and explore it in upcoming releases or something like that. Yeah, because it really then helps the whole format to get the adoption, and because LibreOffice is one of the major projects in the world of Linux and open source in general.
I think there are lots of ways to do that, many of them informal, that don't involve TDF saying something desperately, whatever. And I think when it comes to quotes from people and whatever, it's easy to manufacture sympathetic quotes. It's probably better to have something that's actually out there and downloadable before we make too much noise, or is your timeline sooner than that? What's the...
Yeah, I think it's probably better to have something downloadable first, at least as a development version.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to hear if there is anything like the board is against, or if it's something I can discuss and work on with Italo later.
No, I'm not. But Bjorn, you presumably Snap is Ubuntu's competitor, right? So,
yep.
I would assume.
It's essentially the same. It's just like all the other stuff, abstracts away the base image so that it can run in any distro and blah blah blah. So.
Yeah. Same, but different, as it were. I love it.
Okay. We've seen this before, yes.
I think I've seen this before too. Anyway. So let's see. So I think once there's a downloadable version, Yuji, we can do some community marketing. I think your target audience is probably not our target audience. So, LibreOffice is a big user-facing app, and the majority of our users, will be using a stable version of GNOME, Come, whatever, or are on Windows, in fact. So I think the people you want to attract the developer audience, and I think for that, blogs and quotes and excitement generally are probably more fruitful for what you want to achieve.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm happy to help with the developer marketing, why not?
Any more questions on this topic?
Shall we move on then?
Not from the side. We can move.
Go, 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 go. What's the next item?
Okay. next item is from Boston and the changes for TDF number 3. So. You see an email from Boston with a proposal. I don't know if the director has...
When you say below, where is it?
Probably all the way down or something. Maybe not.
The invitation mail.
Proposal for item 2.
Proposal for item 2. Why don't you tell us what the proposal says, Dawson, and then we'll just vote it on.
Actually, I have to find it first.
The proposal doesn't know the proposal. I love it. That's great.
Wait a second.
It's a blank check, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah, I love it. Is this even controversial? Do we need to vote on it?
I think we need a formal vote on that because it changes the policy of the list.
So we have a proposed text for the footer. The text is posting on this list are considered private communication among TDF members. Please don't share about outside the circle. And this text is for the footer, and we have also a message for the list that is dear member, the TDF board and staff is working on improving communication and transparency of how TDF operates and what decisions are taken. One of the items identified is that you, as trustee of the foundation, deserve more timely updates on what's going on. As these things go, that sometimes require confidentially, as example, press statements need to be refined, people brief it, or a competitor not to be alert ahead of time. So, effective today, posting on this list are considered private communication among TDF members to assure mutual confidentiality and for being able to share increasing more stuff with you as members. TDF asks you to specifically not forward mails from the list, otherwise spread the information conveyed. Please understand that leakage of any kind will heavily disincentivize future sharing of information. Let's all try to not be tempted. Okay, there were several additional items related to that, without which the above makes little sense. The board agrees that all decision-making is public by default, so private discussion decision define a reason, example, personal data, NDA requirements, privileged communication, other legal risks. Define a sunset period by which time the decision will be made public. Unless we are legally required, I fail to see any area where that period would be forever. Define a scope, board only, perhaps sometimes excluding COI and members. Board plus ED, members only, no other groups. So this is the proposal. And if there are no objection, we can go to the vote. Okay. We can go. So, Michael?
Michael, you're muted.
Michael?
Incompetent, but yes, I like it. Go for it. Sorry.
Okay. Yes, for me. Obviously.
Obviously, yes.
Okay. Osvaldo?
Yes.
Candy?
Yes.
Ike?
Yes.
And Bjorn?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Next item, from Florian, we have a discussion about the membership committee election.
Right, so let's try to keep that maybe short, looking at the clock. The story is there is the membership committee election coming up. I don't have the exact deadline from the top of my head, but the outcome is that by the time of the conference in September, there will be a new membership committee at least elected and the preliminary results announced. And so far we had five seat holders and two deputies in the MC, and we in Brussels discussed already whether to change that. That is up to the board, which size the membership committee should be. Limitations are in the statutes. We need at least 3 people and a maximum of 10% of the board of trustees, so that would be like 20-something, 21, 22. And we didn't always odd number. And basically, I want to open the discussion so we can brainstorm whether we want to either have a smaller membership committee or, that was one of the proposals from Brussels, a much larger one. We've seen that there have been issues in the past, and by defining proper size, whatever proper means, that might be a way to address that. And obviously, I have no hard feelings for one outcome or the other.
Yeah, so, I mean, I quite like a larger MC, just so that we can get more people involved in governance and, you know, into the septic tank of whatever. I mean, hopefully the membership, list, everything happening there will help increase engagement and hopefully not spam us all with a huge volume of mail. But what about increasing it somewhat, like a couple of people extra, like 7 and 3 or something like that, instead of 5 and 2?
Do we have enough names? Just because maybe I should mention that when we made the decision on the size, we cannot change it for that election. So we need to be sure if we go for 10 people, we actually find 10 people running. That's the only concern.
Okay.
That's a hard one.
At least. So one proposal would be for the next board call in 2 weeks to approach people whom we think would be interested to run. We have an approximate number of people we think would commit the time to that and then decide upon that. I don't know what's better, actually, whether larger or smaller. Cooler.
I think it's easy to find 5 people. Beyond that, it gets harder, I guess. Such an exciting job as well, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, so my proposal is that we all brainstorm and try to poke people who we think are competent, so we have a gut feeling in 2 weeks, and then can make a proper board decision and upon that announce. And indeed, as you mentioned, it's a quite important job and it's a quite important body of TDF. So with the membership base growing, I think we're at about 215 or so with the recent filing, 214, that's growing.
Hey, this is Torsten. Sorry, got cut off.
Hi, Torsten. We're just brainstorming what makes sense for the MC. Decide. And of course, we also should talk to the MC maybe about that, which I haven't done yet.
Yeah. Why don't you talk to the MC about it?
Yeah, I can do so.
Okay, talk to the MC about it. Torsten. The other action was to poke people who we might be able to strong arm, twist, whatever, into joining, right, or signing up. The criteria is we need at least that many people to join. Is that correct, Florian, or not? I mean, if we fall short of 7, there isn't a constitutional crisis and the world ends or whatever, or...
Actually, I don't know what would happen if we, for example, decided for 10 people and we have only 7 candidates. I think there is some leeway given we have deputies, and for example, if it's like 7 plus 3, I think the 3 would be nice, but not mandatory. We could stick with the 7 because only those 7 are actual seat holders. So there is some leeway to experiment by having a proper sized group of deputies. So 7 relevant.
I mean, I just don't know how many of these people have left, been burnt out, or done whatever. But, you know, I guess having more space so people can move onto the board later is helpful. I forget what we decided there anyway, but...
I think in Brussels you proposed to have it much larger. I actually don't recall what others thought about that, but that was the idea from Brussels to have it larger. Yeah.
It'd be a stupid idea, but we can at least try.
Yeah. So maybe defer to call in 2 weeks, and then I think then we should make a decision so we can kick off the elections.
Okay.
Florian, if you could just tell me the deadlines, like when
you're slightly cut off. You want to know a deadline?
Right. Can you tell us what's the deadline for kicking off the MC election? Just doing the math backwards from needs to be in place by the end of August.
So what I have in my calculation is the announcement has to happen the latest August 5. That's what I came up with.
Oh, for the election?
Yes, for the election announcement, right.
Okay, so that's lots of time then. Okay, yeah.
The plan was to do it earlier, but it's not really utter urgent. That's true, yeah.
Well, good, let's move on. Quick. We've made three items. Much longer.
Next item. I'm sorry. Next item is for me is the follow-up about the software heritage project. This is the link to the preview of the website. And we need to decide something for June the 2nd. But from the last call, I remember that we want to support this project, if I'm not wrong.
Absolutely. Why not? What do they need from us?
For now, they want a quote, a statement of our support of the project, and then if you want, we can be involved in something else.
But okay, the FSSEE has supported it, the IEEE has supported it, the NLNet Foundation and Creative Commons supported it. I think it sounds like we don't need to do much due diligence. Let's just send them a quote. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like a no-brainer as well.
The second
part of that, like that might need a bit more scrutiny. So when it comes to doing actual work, but we're not there yet, I suppose.
Right. So they do the work and we say nice things about them. I like this kind of relationship, you know? It's great. So... why don't we ask Itali to come up with a suitable quote, and then we'll find some board member to say it. Yeah?
Yeah, no, I'm already planning to do that, but I'm in touch with Stefano in general about the project, because one of the partnerships is going to be with UNESCO, and this is going to be something important for the entire open source environment and movement. Because software will be open source, free software will be declared as a human heritage, and which I think is important in general as a message. So I'm in close touch with Stefano.
While you say that, Italo, now that it goes that takes that angle, I think it would be wonderful to have one of the document liberation guys provide the quote there. Some do some cross marketing. I mean, they're also concerned with legacy and preserving stuff.
Yep, I love it.
Yeah.
Do Yeah, if we don't need a director to do this anyway, we can say, you know, the document for the...
Yeah, I prefer the closer.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay. Thanks, Atali.
Thank you.
I don't think we even need to vote on it. It's just good to have it on the agenda. What's next? Discussion, certification. Are you happy with that, Atali? Has that completed the action, the item, Marina?
The next item is a discussion about the certification program.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, the main problem now is that we need to review the members involved in the certification committee, and I would like to know the opinion of the board about the certification program, not only from the developer side, but in particular for the migration and training protocol and certification.
Mm. Just a quick poke before we go there. This link that we have with this preview and guest, whatever on it, for the Software Heritage, is that a public URL or is that a private link?
It's still private, I think.
It's a private one.
Okay, Rory, I'll just put a private around this, you know, whatever.
Until the official announcement in June the 2nd.
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Sorry, opinion sought. I think the developer piece rocks, so that's just my one take. I think it does what it says on the tin, so I like it. I don't know if you agree, Torsten, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, to answer the general question from my perspective, Marina, I mean, I don't think there's any problem just continuing at the level we're doing that. And I don't know, I have no insight into the certification committee as it is. I've just occasionally talked to Thomas, and I'm not aware of any issues there. So more concern to just keep it running.
Okay. And the other book members?
If I can add some comments on that, the issue on the certification committee, apart from the part that is handling developer certification, is that we had a number of people. Of course, the committee was mostly self-appointed or appointed by a smaller group of people. And after 2 years, we have realized that we have some people that are actively working on that committee, Thomas, Lothar, Marina, Sophie, myself, and a few others, and people that have basically ignored the fact that they were on the certification committee. At the moment, we see other people more interested than some of the actual members. So the idea we discussed with Marina, Sophie, and Florian as well was to review the committee and get people that are interested and are willing to extend the certification in their geographies, for instance. Franklin Veng in Taiwan is using his certification to actively support LibreOffice and ODF migration in his country, which I think is positive. And he is willing to increase the number of certified people in Taiwan. So I would strongly support having Franklin in the certification committee and not having people that did not even answer to a single email in 2 years, because that is not, if it is a community effort, we need people that is committed and not people that is just there for the badge. This is not a badge, it's something that people have to work a little bit.
Itali, when the ESC updated its composition recently, it went away and came up with a list of people that it wanted on the thing, and then we rubber stamped it, which seems to me a good way of doing this. So there's something concrete to vote on. I would be concerned if we discovered they were all from one geography or they were all from one whatever, but I'm sure that won't happen. So, you know, I would propose that you come up with a list of people. And
yeah, of course.
Something. I mean, not too far from how we do that with members. I mean, membership also expires, and you have to kind of at least give a sign of life. So I don't think that there's a general problem to have a large group of people. Some of them do more, some of them do less. I think that's just life in a community. But at least we should make sure that they are alive and the email address works and, I don't know, they answer. So that would be my minimal requirement for.
So behind the ESC process is a very sensitive thing of going and talking to certain unnamed individuals who are very pleased that they're on the ESC but never actually turn up or say anything, and asking them whether they're okay with being removed, which is perhaps not visible when you see the rubber stamp list. So, yeah. But I'm sure you know. This is teaching you to suck eggs, Italo. So what else do you need from us?
I think it was just, and I think Marina... Marina, she writes me, she has dropped. So can you re-invite Marina from the call? She has dropped.
A pleasure, of course, yeah. But she should continue to have the invite in her Hangouts when she looks. Hello, Marina, you're back again.
Thank you.
So are you okay with the proposal for the certification committee to come up with a list of new people and updated lists that they agree on? Is that reasonable?
I think yes. It is okay from my side. I think that we just wanted to give you a background and a rationale on a different certification committee, starting from let's say the conference on. But giving you a list and discussing that with the people that have been more involved is not an issue at all.
Great. And my hope is that everybody would be consensus around that people would realize that they're not on the list anymore, and they would be aware of that, and that they haven't contributed anything, right? It's not going to be a surprise and a coup.
No, of course
not. Okay, great. Cool.
And maybe we can actually establish that as a rule to have this kind of review every 2 years from now. I think it's a good idea. And it's good that you brought that up.
It's part of the certification program that every 2 years certification is reviewed and proved, and this is for everyone, so also for people that is in the certification committee. So no one is excluded and no role is there for eternity.
Great. That sounds really good, Italo. Excellent. So please do check the minutes. I don't know whether people's names and whatever in there is helpful, but I tried my best.
We have mentioned people that are active, so we didn't mention people that are not active.
I know. Look at that. That's good, isn't it? We'll get to the private call in a minute, you know, and then we can resume the discussion. Is there anything else for the public call? Are there any other topics or items?
No.
Anything from the public who's on the call? I mean, Italo, Jerry, anybody else?
In which case? Thanks, guys. Okay. I'll hang in the Hangout and I'll dial in the other room. See you guys.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Thanks.